Amen. Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. And when you get there, I ask you to turn to verse number 27. And we'll read from there down to verse 31. So we'll be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And we will read verses 27 through 31. And then we'll hear what the Lord has to say on this morning. And then we'll have our offering and communion after that. Amen? God bless you. So Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27, down to verse 31. King James Version says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we give you praise and thanks now as we come to your word. Father God, you declare that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we pray that your word will just point us in the direction in which we should go. Father, we desire to walk with you in the paths of righteousness. We desire to walk with you so that our destinies can be fulfilled. Father God, right now, give us listening ears, Father. Help us to understand what thus saith the Lord on this morning. Reveal unto us your perfect will. Father God, bless us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That, Father God, you may be glorified and we may be blessed in all our doing. Father God, right now we thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father God, we ask you to let that word go to work in our lives right now. And for that we give you praise, we give you thanks, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we read Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. Our title today is, What Do You Expect? Amen. What do you expect? And we're going to get right into the scriptures, amen, and then talk about what we see here. God's going to speak to us through his word. And then also, too, allow us to begin to apply this to our lives. A lot of times, you know, people will say to us, what do you expect? You know what I mean? You know, something happens unto us and they'll question us and say, well, what do you expect? In other words, what happened should have been something that you expected to happen. But here, God is asking us on this morning, what do we expect? And I believe it's a question that we really have to ponder as we walk with God. Right now, as we about to get into the scripture, I just want to say this to you and allow you to begin to ponder it in your heart even now. As you sit here on this morning, November 1, 2015, what expectations are you carrying around? And that's a question that should not be glossed over. What do you expect right now? As you look at various aspects of your life, what is your expectation concerning those things? And that's what God wants us to consider on today. Let's get into the scripture text, amen, and see that Jesus is here, and he's walking. And we read the scripture, we understand the words on the page, but then we want the Holy Spirit to make the words come off the page so that they can really have some meaning to us. Because the words on the page tell us that two blind men followed Jesus crying, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus then kept walking, and he went into a house, and the blind men came to him, and they said to him, again, they wanted him to help. And he said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Their eyes were open. And then he told them, don't tell anybody. And they went and they told everybody. The end. That's what it says on the words on the page. But if we let the words come off the page, we have to understand that these blind men, if we really look at them, they were walking around with some expectation and some belief that their lives could be changed by Jesus. And how do we know that? Because if we look here at the scriptures, it says that Jesus is walking and two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is walking, they're blind, and yet they're following him. How can that be? How can it be that blind men are following Jesus as he's walking? Wow. Just think about that for a moment. It's not as easy as it appears on the page. Because if they're blind, they can't see when Jesus goes left or when he goes right. So how can they follow him? In order to follow him, they have to have a determination, first of all, to know that he's there. He's walking by and there's a commotion. They want to know, who's that? Who's that? It's Jesus. Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth? Yes, Jesus of Nazareth. Where is he? He's down there on the road. Hey, help me, help me. Come on, I need somebody to grab me. Right? And they start to walk. And then if he turns left, they need somebody to let them know he turned left.
Right.
They're blind.
Wow.
And yet they're following behind Jesus. I don't know exactly how they were able to do it, but they needed some help. And they needed to be unashamed to ask for that help. I'm blind, but I need to get into the presence of Jesus. I have an obstacle. I have a challenge in front of me that would keep me from seeing him face to face. But I'm not going to let anything stop me. And so I need somebody to help me. Can you grab me by my man? Leave me alone. I'm going home. Okay, can you help me? I don't know how many people they had to ask, but they had to have had some help to follow him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus walks into a house. What's missing here is that as they call unto him and say, Jesus, have mercy on us, Jesus ignores them. We don't like to hear that.
No.
We like Jesus. See, Jesus is so nice and Jesus is so kind, and Jesus is so gentle, that if I talk to Jesus, Jesus is going to say something back. Well, I don't know what scriptures you've been reading, but I see plenty of times when Jesus ignores people in the scripture.
Jesus,
help me! He keeps walking.
Yeah.
When that Syrophoenician woman came begging Jesus to help their daughter, tell this woman to go home. She cried after us. Jesus didn't even say nothing to her. At first, Jesus keeps walking. So not only is Jesus walking and the blind man trying to follow, he's ignoring them as they're yelling behind him. He just goes in the house. He don't stop on the road. He don't say, okay, wait a minute. This time when Jesus has stopped on the road, not this time, he kept walking. And he went to the house and the men follow him into the house. Again, how do they know what house he went into? Somebody had to be helping. And who knows, maybe it was God that was supernaturally helping them make their way through the darkness of their existence to find where Jesus was.
Wow.
But whatever it was, they needed some help to go and to find Jesus. And I think about this now. I think about us. What kind of impediments do we have that keep us from getting to Jesus? And do we allow those impediments to keep us from him? In other words, do our schedule keep us from him? Do the demands of our life keep us from him? Do our lack of understanding of Old Testament scripture or something keep us from him? Because see, there's a whole lot of things that could work to keep us from getting face to face with Jesus. And do we give in to those things? Huh? What about this one? Do our anger keep us from get to Jesus? I'm angry with somebody. My unforgiveness, my hardness of heart, my unbelief. But here's the thing. If we want to, we can overcome all those obstacles and get to Jesus, just like these blind men. These blind men had a handicap. They had a hindrance. They had an obstacle, and they said within themselves, I don't care. I'm getting before Jesus. Why? Because I need some help that only He can give me.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, these men had an expectation that Jesus would help them. Because otherwise, they would not have continued pressing on. And I don't know, Nida, whether you thought about it at the time, but when you kept going after 3:30, 4:15, 4 o'clock, 4:15, and you just standing in the line, there must have been something on the inside of you that said, despite all the stuff in the natural, somebody's going to help me. Sometimes expectation doesn't make any sense. But expectation, expectation in action is something that can't be denied. It can't be ignored. You can see it when someone expects something to happen. And these men expected something to happen. They believed that Jesus was going to help them. Let's stop for a moment and talk about expectation. Because expectation and belief are linked. In fact, if you look up the word expectation, one of the different definitions you may find that expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or come to be in the future. That expectation is a strong belief that something will happen. So you really can't separate expectation from belief. But here's the thing, but watch this. If you and I are not expecting anything to happen, then we're not believing on anything to happen. That's why we have to have expectation. Because if we have expectation, that means that right now we're standing here believing that God is going to do something for us in the future. But if you have no expectation where you are, if it's just up to God, you ever been there where it's just up to God? You have a problem, and you say, God knows, I've been praying about it. But you have no expectation. You just pray, God, I need your help. But you have no expectation. If you have no expectation, then you're not believing. Because expectation is a strong belief that something will happen in the future. You can tell when someone doesn't have expectation because they talk in terms of unbelief. What do I mean? Let's say you're watching the game and your team is losing by 30 points. Philadelphia Eagles beating somebody by 30 points. They beat the Dallas Cowboys by 30 points. And the Cowboys come storming back and beat the Eagles by 15 points. And Eagles fans all over say, I can't believe it! Know why? Know why they say that, Brother Les? Because they have no expectation that the Cowboys are going to come back. That's why they can't believe it. When you don't have expectation, you speak in terms of unbelief. I can't believe it. If it snowed in July, you would say, I can't believe it. If you live in the northeast part of the United States, I can't believe it. Why? Because you have no reason to expect that it would snow in July. Mm-hmm. But watch this. You go for a job interview. They give you the job and you go, I can't believe they offered me the job. That means you really didn't expect to get it. Mm-hmm. But if you expect to get it, when they call and tell you, I'm offering you the job, you're happy, but you're not filled with unbelief. Because you went there with an expectation that I'm going to get the job. When you have an expectation that things are going to work out for you, when they work out for you, you're happy, you're gratified, but you're not standing there in unbelief. Why? Because you were expecting it to work. You were expecting things to work out. So your expectation and your belief is linked. And so these men who are following Jesus, they have an expectation. He's going to help us. And that's why they were so determined to keep walking behind him, even though they were blind, even though they were handicapped, even though Jesus is ignoring them, they still are pressing through because they have an expectation. Jesus is going to help me. The question is, do we have that kind of expectation when we approach Jesus? Are we willing to go through the obstacles? Are we willing to overcome the hindrances and the things that will hold us back and say, I'm going to get before the Lord. Why? Because he's going to help me. Or do we just hope he's going to help? Or we wish it. I wish my situation was different. Or do you expect that if I can just get before Jesus, he's going to help me? So they had an expectation. They were expecting Jesus to help them. They get before Jesus, and Jesus now says to them, see what he said? Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe I'm able to do it? What a question that comes from Jesus. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they say unto him, yes, Lord, we are. Yes, we do. We believe that you are able to do this. And then Jesus just touched their eyes and he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. The New Living Translation says, when he says, according to your faith, be it unto you, he said, because of your faith, it will happen. You see that? Because of your faith, it will happen. Not because I'm able to do it, but because you believe I'm able to do it. Do you know God can do anything he wants? God can do anything he wants to do. But how come then he's not doing anything that he seems like he's not doing anything he wants to do in your life? In my life?
Yeah.
Because he's saying, because of your faith, it will happen. If God stood before you today and said, do you believe I'm able to do this? What would you answer him? Your biggest problem right now. Jesus is standing before you in the Spirit, saying unto you right now, do you believe I'm able to do this?
Wow.
And what's your answer? Not just Sunday school answer, your real answer. What's the answer that's shown by your feet, by the way you're walking through your life? These men, their answer was demonstrated by their feet because they kept walking after Jesus. They were walking, said, listen, this man can help us. This man called Jesus can help us and we're going to get unto him. Do we have that kind of evidence in our lives that when Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? What is your answer? What is our answer? That biggest problem you have right now, do you believe Jesus is able to fix it? Do you expect him to fix it? Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And then their eyes were immediately opened.
Yeah.
So what do we expect right now?
Yeah.
Amen. What is your expectation right now? Do you expect, you know, you have people who, when the flu season comes, they expect to get the flu. But watch this. Do you believe that a person can expect to get the flu and at the same time believe that they will have the blessing of God's divine help? You can't. You can't do both of those things. You can't expect to get the flu and at the same time believe on God to keep you healthy. Do you see how expectation and belief are so linked, right? So there are people right now who believe that they have an expectation things aren't going to work out for them. They have an expectation they're not going to get the promotion, that the promotion always goes to the other guy. That's what they expect.
Mm-hmm.
They expect to not have enough. That's their expectation. They expect not to have enough. But they're hoping to be surprised. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to be surprised. But what you expect is what you're going to have.
Yeah.
I was ironing my clothes this morning, and God said three words. He said, expectation precedes manifestation. In other words, the thing that's going to be revealed in your life is preceded by what you expect to happen. So if you expect to not have enough, you ain't going to have enough. Because you're not going to be believing on God to provide what you need.
Wow.
So watch this. See, some people expect other people to hurt them. Some people expect other people to let them down. You ever been like that?
Yeah.
Come on, be honest.
Yeah.
You ever been dealing with somebody and you expected them to let you down? You can't expect them to let you down and at the same time believe they're going to come through. You can't. You can't. So, what are we expecting? Are you expecting people to hurt you? Are you expecting people to let you down? Are you expecting things won't work? Are you expecting to fail? Are you expecting to come up short? Or are you expecting abundance? Are you expecting answers? Are you expecting people to come out of nowhere to help you? Are you expecting things to work out? I'm telling you, your expectation is going to mean a lot. Our scripture text, in fact, in our bulletin today, if you turn to that, the psalmist says, "My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him." Another way of saying that, my expectation is in Him. And if my soul is going to wait silently for God alone, first of all, let's stop for a moment. The psalmist is talking to his soul.
Yeah.
You see that? He says, my soul, comma, amen. He talks to his soul. Wait silently for God alone. Now let's think about this for a second. Why is the psalmist talking to his soul? He's talking to his soul because his soul determines whether he wins or loses. Right? Man has three parts, spirit, soul, and body. This flesh of ours chooses to do what the devil wants to do. There's no good thing in the flesh. Our spirit chooses to do what God wants it to do. Amen? Because our spirit comes from God. Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, well, that's a determining factor. That's why 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Because if your soul prospers, then he's going to join with your spirit, and you're going to win, 2-1. But if your soul does what the flesh wants to do, then it's the flesh and the soul against your spirit, and it don't matter, you're going to lose. So you and I need to be like the psalmist and talk to our soul. Right? Talk to your mind, your will, and your emotions and tell it, be quiet and wait for God alone. And you see what it says? It said, wait silently for God alone.
Yes.
Talking to your mind. You know, because your mind wants to run wild with all kinds of things that may happen. And you want to tell your soul, your mind, wait silently for God alone. You want to tell your will the things you want to do. And sometimes you want to tell somebody off. Sometimes you want to give somebody a piece of your mind. And when, you know, you really don't want to say this out in public and you're a Christian. But every now and then you want to, right? You. Nobody here wants to do that. But you know, there's a time you want to
kiss.
Y'all know y'all get those things, you want to. But you got to talk to your soul, because that's what you want to do, amen?
Amen.
But you got to tell your soul, don't choke them. Just wait silently for God alone. And your emotions, you know, the things that you feel, those things, they're from God, but they're like a roller coaster on steroids. They're just up and down and they're all over the place.
Yep. Amen.
And you need to tell your emotions, wait silently for God alone, because if your soul loses the battle, you lose the battle. Because your soul and my soul is the determining factor. We're spirit, soul, and body. And where our soul goes, that's going to determine whether we get the victory. So if our mind, our will, and our emotions are running crazy, we won't lose. So what have you been thinking about? What are the things you've been wanting to do to people? You got to ask yourself these questions, amen? What is it that you've been wanting to do? Those secret things that only you and God know. Where are your emotions right now? Because I'm telling you, if they're out of control, they're out of whack, then you're out of whack. Because your soul is going to determine whether you prosper and be in health. Because that's how it goes. Even as your soul prospers. So the psalmist is talking to his soul, and he says, wait silently, watch this, for God. But the last word is the most important. Alone. You know what that means? Don't be waiting on people. Don't be waiting on people. Don't be sitting there waiting for people to come through for you. Your soul should be waiting for God alone. Now, God will use people, but praise God for that. You know what I feel like? I feel this is what I think. I think people are gravy. God is meat, and the people are gravy. If I got a good piece of meat, Brother Les, I can eat my meat and that potatoes and rice. I don't need no gravy. If the meat is good, I can eat. I can just cut it up, put it in the potatoes. I don't need no gravy. Sometimes my wife says, you want some gravy? Okay. But gravy is gravy. I don't really need gravy, but I need the meat. You understand what I'm saying? I don't really need the gravy, but I need the meat. God is meat. People are gravy, amen? Amen. I'm waiting for God alone. Amen. And if God in His grace sent people my way, He gave me some gravy, amen? Amen. But we should wait for God alone, the psalmist said. Why? Because my expectation is from Him. And the implication is my expectation is from Him alone. Because I'm waiting for God alone, then I know that the only place I have my expectation is in God. I'm telling you that these blind men had their expectation in Jesus. That's why they were able to find a way to follow Him despite their obstacles, hindrances, and handicaps. They were able to follow Him despite the fact that it seemed as if Jesus wasn't answering them and kept walking along the road. Because they had an expectation in Jesus alone, and their expectation was in Him. And they kept on going. And that's how we have to be, amen? We have to have that expectation in God. Now, I want to turn to one scripture. I'm going to ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 14. Because this thing about expectation is important for us. Because when we express our expectation, God hears what we're saying. I believe that one of the reasons Jesus asked them, because Jesus didn't ask everybody that He healed, do you believe I can heal you? He didn't. But He asked these two blind men because He wanted to know what were they expecting as a way of getting to us 2,000 years later. That we need to check our expectations when we come to Him. Because God wants us to come to Him in faith, right? With a strong belief that He will change things. We're in Numbers 14, right? In Numbers 13, 12 spies were sent out to Canaan. You remember that story? And 12 spies were sent out. 10 spies came back with an evil report, the Bible says. They were scared to go in because of the giants, scared to go into the promised land. And 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, had a good report. But those who had the bad report had convinced most of the people that they should be afraid and not believe God. So we look at Numbers 14, verse 1. It says, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So they're saying, what has God brought us out here for? Did he bring us out here that we can just die and be a prey? It's better for us to go to Egypt, go back to Egypt. Now if you turn with me to verse number 28, God begins speaking to Moses and to Aaron. And he said, how long am I going to put up with these people who murmur against me? Verse 28, he says, say unto them, or tell them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Let's just stop there for a second and ask ourselves, what have we been speaking into God's ears? When we go around voicing our expectation, I want you to know, God hears what we're saying. Wow. And God is saying unto us, as you speak into my ears, so will I do unto you. Isn't that what he said to these men? Isn't that what Jesus said to the men? Do you believe I can do this? Yes, I do. According to your faith, it'll be unto you. Because of your faith, it will happen. But remember, faith and that belief is tied in with expectation. And these men expected Jesus to help. They believed that he was going to help them. And Jesus said, because you expect and believe I'm going to help you, then it's going to happen. But do you believe it? And know what they said? Yes, Lord, we believe it. According as you've spoken into my ears, it's going to be done unto you. So the question is, what are we speaking into God's ears? When you look at your challenge and your situation right now, what have you been saying about it into God's ears? Because don't think that when we say words, God doesn't hear them. And a quiet has fell over the place, Lord. As people take inventory of all the... A collective has taken place over... Why? Because we know we've let some stuff out, haven't we?
Yes.
We've said some things that if we knew God was listening, we might have rephrased them a little bit. But God's listening to us. Look what he said. He says unto him, he says, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which ye have said should be a prey, them I will bring in. Why? Because they're not the ones who are murmuring. They're not the ones who have the low expectations. And so I'm not going to punish them because of your low expectations. You said they're going to be a prey, but I'm going to bring them in. But you said you're going to die in the wilderness, and guess what? You're going to die in the wilderness. Amen? So what do you expect to happen in your life? What are you speaking into God's ears? Do you expect God to help you? Do you expect God to comfort you? Do you expect God to strengthen you? Or are you speaking words that show unbelief because you have no expectation that any of those good things will come into your life? Change your expectations and you will change your life. Amen? Change your expectations. Begin to expect things to work out. Begin to expect people to treat you with respect and dignity and honor. Expect doors to open. Respect to have the provision that you need. Expect to be in health. Expect to succeed. I don't know about you, amen, but listen, if you're going to get up in the morning, you might as well expect it to be a good day. Otherwise, if you're going to get up, you might as well expect it to be a good day. Change your expectations and you will change your life. Remember what Job said. He said, the thing I greatly fear has come upon me. Right? That's just negative expectation. But what happened? It came upon him. So what about the things you greatly believe in? What do you think is going to happen? You think those will come upon you too? Let's turn the thing around. Let's have a great expectation. The thing I greatly expect has happened to me. Glory to God. But here's the thing. God is speaking great expectations into all of our lives. Because he wants us to have a belief of something coming to pass in the future. That's why sometimes it's out of the blue. You'll get something dropped into your spirit that God is whispering about what he wants to do in your life. And you know what the devil does sometimes when that happens? He'll come real quickly and he'll try to snatch the word. And you know how he tries to snatch the word? He uses tricks. He'll say things like, when God speaks something so good and so great into your life, you know what he'll say? That's too good to be true. That's too good to be true. You ever hear people say, I knew that was too good to be true? But think about too good to be true. If God speaks something into your life, God is good and God is true. So, and he's all the way good and he's all the way true. So if he spoke it, how can it possibly be too good to be true? If God speaks it, it's just good and it's true. But the devil wants you to come off of it by thinking that's too good to be true. I can't own the company. That's too good to be true. I can't be debt-free. I know some other people have been debt-free, but that's too good to be true. Why is it too good to be true? If God spoke it to you, he's good and he's true, then that's all you need. No such thing too good when it comes to God. There's no such thing as too true when it comes to God. That's a trick from the devil. Know how you know it's a trick from the devil? How come there's not a corollary for that? A Corolla? No, a corollary. Right? If something is too good to be true, how come there's no such phrase as too bad to be true? How come we don't say that? Somebody tells us something bad, we go, I knew it was going to happen. It could be the worst thing you ever heard, and you go, I knew it. It's nothing that's too bad to be true, but the devil has made this phrase of too good to be true. Think about the things that are good. We have a fear for them. We don't think that it's too good to be true, and we also think what? That good things won't last. How is that possible when God is good and God is everlasting? God is good and God is eternal, but we think there's a limit on the goodness that can come into our life. I knew it wouldn't last. It was too good. It was too good to last for long. Expectation, amen? Expectation. There's no such thing as, you know, your good fortune's going to run out. The source of good in your life is God. God can't run out. But our expectations could get messed up, amen? But here's the thing. What is God saying unto us? Expect the good to come into your life. Expect the goodness of God to be in your life. Walk around with an expectation, even if you can't see it, just like these blind men couldn't see Jesus. You can't see the thing working out in your life right now, but still, that shouldn't stop you from expecting it. I can't see what God's going to do, just like these blind men couldn't see Jesus, but I still expect God to help me. I don't know how. I can't see a thing, but I can still have expectation. What do you expect? And if you're going to have expectation, have your expectation today, not when things begin to change. Because if you wait for things to change, to raise up your expectation, they're never going to change. Remember, expectation precedes manifestation. If you want the things to manifest in your life, you're going to have to expect it to happen first. And so you need to expect it today. It's like faith, right? Now faith is. Not later. Now faith is. Right?
Yes.
Today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You got to expect it now. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's not some other time, amen. It's now. Raise your expectation now. In the middle of the mess, raise your expectation. In the middle of the confusion, raise your expectation. In the middle of the opposition, raise your expectation. Dare to do it. Amen. Don't wait for it to change. Do it right now. But I can't see. So what? Raise your expectation. Now. Today. God's funny. Don't spend another night with a frog. Amen.
Amen.
Don't spend another night with a frog. God told Aaron, raise up your rod. And all the frogs came out of the Nile and covered the land of Egypt. There were frogs in the front yard. There were frogs in the backyard. There were frogs on the porch. There were frogs on the roof. There were frogs in the kitchen. There were frogs in the oven. There were frogs in the bathroom. There were frogs in the bathtub. There were frogs in the bedroom. There were frogs in the basement. There were frogs on the animals. There were frogs on everybody. Isn't that what the Bible said? There were frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh went up to Moses and said, entreat God to get these frogs out of here. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me, which is a weird phrase, but that's what he said in the King James Version. Glory over me. When do you want them to go? In other words, he said, I'll let you decide. I'm not even going to be the one to decide. Glory over me. You decide. When do you want these frogs to go? And he said, tomorrow.
Not right now. Not today.
Check it out. Exodus chapter 8, verse 10. He said, tomorrow. Apparently, he wanted to spend just one more night with the frogs.
Yes.
And God is saying to us, why spend another night with the frogs? Amen. Instead of believing on something being better tomorrow, expect it today. But I tell you this, if Moses asked a brother, when you want the frogs out, I want them out right now. In fact, I want them out 15 minutes ago. Get these frogs out of here. So God is saying to us, don't spend another night with a frog. Have your expectation today that things are going to be better. Because if you're waiting for tomorrow for things to improve, you are delaying your expectation and you're delaying the manifestation of that thing coming to pass in your life. We need to believe and have that expectation now. So that's why God's asking us, what do you expect? That's the question for the moment, amen. That's not for later, that's not for tomorrow. That's the question God is asking us right now. What do you expect? And I believe we need to be bold enough to say, I expect things to work out. I expect to succeed. I expect to prosper. I expect provision. I expect to be protected. I expect blessings. I expect help. I expect strength. I expect peace. I expect to have a joyful life. Come on, somebody. Because if you're not expecting that and I'm not expecting that, then what do you expect? Amen? Holidays are coming. Do you expect people to come over your house and start arguing? You know, every time they get together, they do nothing but argue. Is that what you're expecting?
No.
Because there will be an argument. Be it unto you according to your faith. Come on, somebody. Be it unto you as you have spoken in my ears, says the Lord. Well, I want to speak into the Lord's ears, and I want you to speak into the Lord's ears. Great expectations. Amen.
Amen.
Let the Lord hear that you're expecting him to do great things for you. Amen. Let him hear that you're expecting him to keep the rain off of you. I don't need no umbrella. Amen. Let him hear that you're expecting him to meet your needs. Amen. Right? And let your soul wait silently on God alone. And you tell God, because my expectation is from you alone. Amen. Amen. And if we change our expectations, we'll change our lives. Amen. And so let's show God what we're expecting. Amen. As we continue to go forward. And especially for all of us have issues and challenges right now, don't we? There's some things in front of all of us. But now, just think about what... He got expectations. And see, I can tell you what Christian got expectations of. He got expectations of goldfish. He expects. He fully expects. Watch him. And you know how you can tell expectation? Watch when we had the benediction. We say, so be it. Watch what happens. He's going to demonstrate his expectation. But that's how we have to be, amen? We have to be like little children unless we can't come in and enjoy the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's raise our expectation, amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet and pray today, and then we'll have our offering. And the reason why we had our offering after the word today, because give you an opportunity to sow your seed today with expectation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Because if we did it ahead of time, you might have to wait until next week. And by next week, if you wasn't really paying attention, or you let you think, you know, by Tuesday, most people forget what the word was on Sunday.
Amen.
So God said, I'm at least give you one chance to put what you heard to work. Amen. So we're going to sow our seed this morning with expectation, but let's pray first. Amen. And then we'll come out and we'll sow our seed this day. Father, we bless you and we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are inspiring us and encouraging us to raise our expectations, oh God. Father God, you said that our expectations is a strong belief in what will happen or what shall come to pass in the future. And Father God, we ask you to forgive us, God, for all the times that we have had lowered expectations.
Yes.
When we have spoken in your ears the things that we believe were not going to work, things that were not going to happen, things that were not going to work out for us. Father God, we repent of those things, oh God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we make a 180-degree turn and we leave those things behind, and now we come to you speaking words of life, that we expect God to help us. We expect Jesus to heal us. We expect God to provide for us and to bless us. We expect God to wipe away confusion and give us answers, guidance, and direction. We expect strength. We expect good success. We expect, oh God, to have joy in our lives and to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. We expect to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Father God, right now we thank you that our expectations have been lifted. I pray right now, God, that everyone under the sound of my voice will keep their expectations lifted high. That, Father, that they will walk, oh God, even no matter what is coming against them, God, that they will look past all of the stumbling blocks, all of the hindrances, all of the obstacles, oh God, all of the things that are trying to keep them back, oh God, that they will look past those things. And, Father God, with eyes of faith, that they will see you, that they will see Jesus waiting, willing and able to help, to heal, to save and to deliver. And Father, I thank you right now, God, that as we raise our expectations, our lives will change. You said unto us today, change your expectations, and you will change your life. Because Father God, as we speak into your ears, Father God, you said it will be done unto us, because it is merely an expression of our faith. So Father God, let us be found to have faith in you. Faith in you that you will do it. Faith in you that you will not fail us. Faith in you that you will prosper us. Faith in you that truly you will make it work together for the good. Father, we give you praise And we give you thanks right now. Where our expectations are lifted. Glory to God. Our belief in our Lord is strengthened. And we shall see the manifestation of God's goodness in our lives as we continue to walk in faith. And for that, God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now.